and welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. I'm Niveda Bannon, and today I'm joined by Mark Munzara, General Manager of Cybersecurity at Sandbox AQ. And we're going to be talking about incredible but often overlooked world of cryptography in banking. Thank you very much for joining us. Josh, how are you doing this morning?
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm doing good. I'm having a very interesting summer, spending some time in California with part of my team members. Our company is headquartered in Palo Alto, and it's been incredibly constructive. So far, so good.
Amazing. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about the current state of cryptography in regional banks and what vulnerabilities many are exposed to and often unaware of.
Let me kind of take a step back here and give a little bit of context on why banking is a very particular industry when it comes to cybersecurity. Many of nowadays large financial institutions are the result of several merge and acquisition processes. And then a long time after merge and acquisitions happening, banks have been integrating other entities, infrastructures into their own pre-existing infrastructure. And eventually what happened is that you're having patch on top of a patch in terms of IT when it comes to critical infrastructure providing business critical services for the financial institutions. There is no single financial institution that has a very well thought, organized, homogeneous IT infrastructure. I think that this is one of the main headlines here. Every large financial institution needs to face a very complex scenario where they have different, extremely heterogeneous equipment across the infrastructure. And then they also need to handle extremely heterogeneous ecosystem of software applications and vendors that might come from what I was just referring to, like previously existing relationships from entities that banks have purchased and then integrated into their own brand. So starting from here, I think it's a very interesting problem to solve. As a cryptography expert and a passionate person in cybersecurity, this poses a very significant, interesting challenge, right? Like, how can we help these large institutions that provide such a critical service to our society stay secure, especially nowadays where you're seeing many, many threats in cybersecurity that were already existing being augmented by especially AI-driven capabilities. So our focus has always been to tackle the foundational component of cybersecurity, which is cryptography. When we started working on this around 4 years ago, when we were within Google incubating, there was no product that could help large entities manage cryptography in a modern way. What does modern way mean in this context, right? So let me shed some light here. Cryptography management is an area that hasn't been tackled by the industry for decades. While you see that in cybersecurity as a whole, a lot of products have been evolving for good, and we now have very sophisticated and advanced products that give you observability capabilities of your cloud deployments. They tell you what vulnerabilities you have. They give you recommendations on how to tackle those vulnerabilities. There is nothing, or there was nothing existing, tackling the cryptographic layer. By the cryptographic layer, I mean this is the set of algorithms, cryptographic keys, configurations that basically power everything related to security and privacy in your infrastructure. Every time that you communicate from one device to another one, and you need that communication to be secure, that's powered by cryptography. So basically, we're tackling the foundation of the entire cybersecurity ecosystem within an IT. And at the end, what we ended up doing was building a product to help entities tackle this.
That's very interesting. Brilliant overview about the sector. So let's talk about the regulations here. How are regulators starting to act? How are they adapting to this? And how will these changes impact compliance?
Yeah, so really, really good question. There has been a trend in the last, I would say, 5 years where we have seen an increased number of governments catching up and making sure that regulations are pushing entities that maybe are not so proactive in establishing good cybersecurity hygienic practices. And in this case, we have seen that there are several regulations that are directly impacting cryptography management. There are many reasons for that. On one side, you have everything related to software supply chain security, which is about how can I trust the software vendors in the sense that are they building a secure product? Because I'm going to deploy that product in my infrastructure. So can I trust that software to run in my infrastructure? So that's one angle on this. There's obviously another angle to that, which is related to new standards always coming up in terms of cryptography. Cryptography is an evolving field. Actually, we got a new set of standards announced by the U.S. government. And these standards will have to be implemented in the next years. Each government will give a different deadline. Some countries are speaking about 2030, for instance, as a deadline for having all IT across the entire nation migrated to this set of new algorithms. This means that if you don't migrate, you're exposing your entity to massive fines. And also, there could be vulnerabilities related to using the old algorithms, so you really don't want to stick there, right? So there are several trends going on. North America is an area that is pretty advanced on this aspect. In Europe, there are several countries that are also on the path to providing very specific guidelines. Germany and France are an example of them. And then in the Middle East, the UAE is a very interesting example. I know the UAE very well because I spent there 5 years of my career. And they started very, very early on worrying about the regulatory aspects of cryptography and making sure that the government provided a framework for both public and private entities to have guidelines on how to treat this particular issue. So
that's very interesting. So you gave an overview about cryptography and we spoke about regulations. Let's talk about best practices now. What are the best practices to address the significant cryptography threats financial institutions face today?
Yeah, this is an easy question for me because obviously I'm going to tell you that the best practice is to modernize the way that you manage cryptography. Now, what does cryptography modernization mean in this context, right? So first, we're going to be considering visibility capabilities. So you cannot have a good control of or a good understanding of what cryptography you're using in your infrastructure if you cannot see what you have first, right? So visibility and observability are complementary capabilities here that play a critical role. And this is actually translated in the product offering that we have at Sandbox, where always our first stage with customers, with large financial institutions in this case, is to deploy software in order to get as many data as possible as to who is using cryptography, when is cryptography being used, how is that cryptography configured, so that we can actually triangulate all this information and provide a very comprehensive inventory of cryptographic usage for the user. Usually, this is something that is consumed by information security teams, by compliance and legal teams. And what you expect from this is to be able to have reports that tell you, hey, you are being compliant or you're not being compliant. This is the list of things that need to be addressed if you want to be compliant. And then we provide recommendations and so on and so forth. But that is a massive critical element of cryptography modernization and best practices. That visibility leads to control. You can, if you have a good understanding of what you have, it means that you can manage what you have. And when it comes to managing things at large scale, like such large entities with such heterogeneous environments, what you're expecting is to have automated software tools that allow you to manage this in a seamless way. You don't want to having to deploy dozens of people to go and manually take care of certain things that you need to fix in your infrastructure. You want automated tools that allow you, with the click of a button, to remediate and to make sure that the cryptographic posture of your infrastructure meets the expectations of your regulators, but also it could be your internal company-wide security practices, right? So that's kind of the third leg of what we consider best practices. So in summary, visibility, control, and then protection in an automated manner to tackle remediation, but also to make sure that best practices are met in this space.
Talk to me about how this threat could be amplified by orders of magnitude once quantum computers start to come online as early as 2030, and why the moves to protect against this looming quantum D-Day, so to say, needs to be made right now.
Yeah, very, very good question, and obviously a topic I love talking about because I've been working in quantum-resistant cryptography for several years now. So what happens is that there have been terrific advancements in quantum computing over the last decade. We don't have, as of now, that we know of, a large enough quantum computer that is able to break our nowadays communications. But this is something that it's possible in the future, right? Like there is a quantum algorithm that, if executed in a large enough quantum computer, could break our communications nowadays. The connections that we're using now to have this conversation, or the connection that you use every day to access your bank through your browser, those connections could actually be broken by a malicious actor leveraging a large enough quantum computer, right? This is mainly because the cryptography that we're using nowadays is vulnerable to quantum computer-aided attacks. Hence why, actually this week, the US government has released new standards. It's not something that they have done overnight. This has been an 8-year process. And we now have these new algorithms that we can use in our machines nowadays, in our laptop, in our phone, that can actually protect us against quantum computer attacks. What we need to do is basically use them. But how do you use them? How do you ensure that your infrastructure of potentially billions of devices doesn't have any cryptographic algorithm in utilization that is vulnerable to a quantum computer aided attack? So in this sense, I'm exaggerating a little bit when referring to billions or millions, because when you need to manage a large infrastructure, what you want to know is how can you do things at scale? It doesn't matter if it's thousands or hundreds of thousands. And in this case, we believe that by modernizing in a proactive manner the way the cryptography is managed, you're going to first identify everything that is using current cryptography, and then you'll be able to do a much more organized and risk-averse transition to these new algorithms, so that you actually first meet the deadlines that government and regulatory bodies are going to impose on this migration, because in some sense, it's a national security matter for some countries. But then also in order to make sure that you're well protected against these kind of upcoming future threats. And I'll end by saying that the whole thing around the threat of quantum computers is also related to the fact that the day that a large enough quantum computer is built and someone starts using it, we won't hear about that. We will hear about this much, much, much after that computer has already been used and exploited by a nation state, potentially malicious actors, to basically have competitive advantage and gain insights on all their competitors/enemies in this case, right? So there is this risk. We believe that a scenario called store now, decrypt later, it's real, which means these nation state actors might be already recording communications nowadays, storing them, because storage is very free nowadays, and then they're just storing them in data centers. And once they gain the capability to actually decrypt these communications in the future through a quantum computer, we believe that they will decrypt it. And that's why some governments have this urgency to help companies migrate and take these proactive steps forward as soon as possible. Because at the end, it's not that you might be getting a breach in your security and privacy 10 years from now, once a quantum computer is available. The fact is that your nowadays communications are already at risk.
Wow, that's super interesting and scary at the same time. Thank you very much for joining us, George. That was super insightful. For more such stories, head to financemovelist.com and make sure you check back next week for another exciting podcast.